Good morning. Thank you for coming to the Sunday School. We're going to start by singing some children's hymns. So if you have the children's sheet here, see, we have a few more seats up here. Anybody else want to come up to the front row? Anybody? Faith? There's room up here. I might have something to give out, and I can't reach you from up here. What do you think, Silas? All right. You have one that you'd like to sing? Yeah. What's your name?
15.
What is your name?
Dean.
Okay, Dean. You would like number 15? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay, we only have about 45 minutes. I'd like to get a good amount of singing in, and then I'd like to hear your verses, and then we're going to talk a little bit too. So before we go any further, we're going to stop, and we're going to ask the Lord for help, because I need help. Father, thank you so much for what we've enjoyed just being together in a room this weekend. Think of how you know so particularly what each one of us needs, and we had maybe different reasons for showing up at this conference, for coming, and then we were reminded, just like when you called us as sinners, that you had your own plan too, and you saw the big picture, you saw the big need, and so we felt our hearts warmed in places where we didn't even realize we were cold. We pray that again this morning, as we try to speak especially to the children, that you would help us and that they would be able to understand a little bit of what we've had before us this weekend. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Yes. What would you like?
Number 10.
Jesus loves me.
This I know.
Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so.
Okay, another one. Yes. Trust and obey, okay. When we walk with the Lord, Asa. Number 8. I am so glad that last night, I was talking to a little boy, and maybe a few little boys and a little girl. And then I said, "Do you love the Lord Jesus?" You know what the boy said? What did he say, Asa? He said, "Yes," right? And I said, "Why do you love the Lord Jesus?" And he said, "Because he saved the whole world." Did the Lord Jesus save the whole world? We were just singing, "We want you to understand that Jesus loves you. And we want you to understand that Jesus died for you. And we want you to understand that Jesus wants to save you and that he can save the whole world. He's not willing that anyone would leave this world unsaved." But he did not save the whole world. There's responsibility that you have. You've heard that the Lord Jesus loves you and that he died for you and that he wants to save you. But you have to say yes to him. Every little boy and every little girl has to say yes to the Lord Jesus in order to be saved. That's really important to understand. Maybe we'll talk a little bit more about that, but let's have another song. Yes. Freedom. Number 5. Around the throne of God in heaven will many children sing. Children whose sins are all forgiven, will end the anthem spring, singing glory, glory, glory be to God on high. What brings them to that world of love and heaven so bright and fair, where all is peace and joy and love, how pain those children there, singing glory, glory, glory be to God on high. Okay, one more for now. Let's go over here.
Number 9.
Into a tent where
a gypsy boy lay, dying alone at the close of the day. News of salvation we carried, said he. Nobody ever has sold it to me. Salvation story, repeat o'er and o'er.
Well, I'd like to sing all morning, but I think we better go on. Who didn't get a candy that would have liked to have gotten one? Are you good at sharing, Betsy? Okay, we're going to find out. I'm going to give that to you. You do what you want with it after Sunday school. Okay, so who learned the verse in Romans chapter 8? Okay, a few. I hope someone's going to help us out with it in a little bit. Okay, so the verse is in Romans chapter 8, but we're going to turn to Matthew chapter 27 first so we can understand a little bit about what this verse is about. So if you have a Bible, if you'd open it up to Matthew chapter 27, right near the end of Matthew, I'm just going to read part of a verse there. In verse 46, it says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Does anybody know who said those words? My God, Jesus, the Lord Jesus said, why have you forsaken me? I think you know enough about the Lord Jesus to know that he was God's son. And I think you know enough to understand that fathers love their sons. One of their dearest possessions, right? Son. A father, it's a relationship. I see, even in this room right now, some fathers with their arms around their sons. They treasure them. The Lord Jesus, Son of God, loved his father, and his father loved him. Always. But man was found to be sinful, right? We're bad. It's like who we are inside is we're bad, and then we do bad things. And God also loved you and loved me. And he didn't want us to go to hell where he's going to send Satan. But he saw that we were sinners, and so he said, I love you, Jack. I love you, Avery, and I'm going to send my son. He's at my side right now, but I'm going to send him to earth, to this place where we live. I'm going to send him as a little baby. And I'm going to let him grow up. And he's going to be perfect because he is perfect. He's never going to sin. He's going to walk on the face of this earth until he's a grown man, and then he's going to, everything he's going to ever do is going to please me as his father. He's going to be the first one who ever walked on this earth who's going to make me happy. God the Father. The Lord Jesus grows up and he's a kind man and he has a loving heart and he pours out his love on this earth. And he's healing as everywhere he goes, right? And he's comforting. And he's raising from the dead. He's doing all these wonderful things. And man can't stand him, right? Because, like I said, we're bad inside. It's who we are. And then we do bad things. We're sinners. And so when man sees this perfect man, the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, walking around on this earth, it makes him angry inside. And he says, what can I do with this man who I don't like? I don't want to see him anymore. How could I get rid of him? And so they come up with a plan to crucify him. So they take this perfect man who's the Son of God. He's a real son, someone who loves him entirely. And they take that son and they bring him into a courtroom. They decide that they don't care if he's guilty or not. He's going to the cross. And they send him there. And he submits himself to what man wants to do to him. The Lord Jesus allows him to be nailed to a cross But not just the Lord Jesus allowing it, it's God the Father. God the Father allows the Lord Jesus to be nailed to the cross, and then somewhere on the other side of 3 hours of darkness, the Lord Jesus cries out. And his cry is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Does anyone know what it means to forsake something? Does anyone know? I know these boys back here know. What does it mean to forsake something? Paul? To leave it and never think about it again. I think that's pretty good. Can you imagine? Has anybody ever been lost? Jack, you've been lost? You haven't? What if you, where were you when you found your mom or your dad, Jack? Don't remember. Does anybody remember being found? You do? Where were you when you were found? You were found at a store. You probably, did your mom see you or you saw her? Yeah, and what did she do when she saw you? Was she happy to see you? Can you imagine if you were, I think everyone knows what that feeling of being lost is like, right? Like everything inside is stirring, like there's a big storm in there, right? And it's building, and it's building, and it's building. And it's getting darker and darker and darker inside, right? And so everyone in this room appears to have been found every time they were lost. Can you imagine if you were lost and you went to the spot where you're supposed to meet your mom and maybe you saw her, but all you saw was her back? Can you imagine if when you saw your mom, you saw her back and she was just walking away? You would run to her, and what if she kept walking? Okay, the Lord Jesus, when he was left on the cross, he was forsaken. It wasn't that God didn't want to run to his son. But he left him there on the cross. I want you to think about that. When we're going to do the verse now. So we're going to use the microphone if you would like. You could say the verse. I'm going to use this one over here. Who thinks that they would like to say the verse into the microphone? Okay, do you need help getting started?
No.
Okay, you can hold that. It's Romans 8:32.
Yes. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Romans 8:32.
That's perfect. Would you like to say it? Would you like to say the verse? It's okay if you would rather not. Here you go. Christine, Avery, Jack, Asa, okay.
He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, by...
How?
How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Romans 8:32.
Very good. Here you go. Anyone else down here?
How do you say it again?
Romans 8:32.
He that spared not his own son, but
delivered.
but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not freely give us all things? Romans 8:32.
Very good. Here you go. Would you like to? I can help you. Anybody over here? No? Want to say the verse? You're kind of shy, so am I. So I'll help you.
He that spared his spy. No.
He that spared not.
He that spared not. He that spared not.
His own son.
His own son.
But delivered him up.
And delivered him up.
For us all.
For us all.
How?
How?
Shall he not?
How shall?
Shall he not with him?
Shall I not with him?
Also freely.
Also with him.
Give us all things.
Give all things.
Very good. Thank you. Anyone else who's shy that would like to?
He that spared not his own son, but delivered up for us also, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Romans 8:32.
Very good. Luke? Sure? Sam? No? Sam's shy.
He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely
give us
all things? Romans 8:32.
Very good. You like the microphone? Yeah, you're pretty good with it. Anybody else? Tori?
Romans 8:32.
He that
spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not
With him
also freely give us all things. Romans 8:32.
Very good.
Romans 8:42. He that spared not his own son to live him up from us all, how shall he give us all things? Romans 8:42.
Very good. I like how you added that freely back in there. Very good. Here you go.
Romans 8:32. He that not delivered. He that spared not his own son, but
delivered
him up for us all. Romans 8:32.
Very good. Down here? Okay, and I know there was someone over here. Here you go. Romans?
8:32. And I forget what else.
He that
spared not his own son, but delivered it up for us all.
How shall
he not freely give us all things? Romans 8:32.
Very good. Thank you. Here you go. Anyone else that didn't get to go? Okay.
How shall he not with us also, but delivered him up with us all? How shall he not with us also? Romans 8:42.
Very good. Anyone else? Here you go.
He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Romans 8:32.
Thank you. Okay. We're going to go on from the memory work, and if you'd like to come say it to me afterwards, you can. Who didn't get a lollipop that would like one? That's pretty good at sharing. Anybody? I think I can trust you to share. Okay. I want to talk about this verse a little bit. You know, when you give something, there's usually an end to it. Okay? When you're giving away candy, there's always a bottom of the bag, right? I just gave away all my candy, so I can't give anything else. But what if you give from something that's alive? You think that's a little different? Okay, can anyone think of something that gives that's alive? Has anybody ever had an apple? You think, have you ever seen, where do apples grow? On a tree. Okay, so what happens if you come along in the fall and you pick all the apples? There are no more apples left on the tree, so then you cut the tree down and you make it into firewood, right? No? It could grow more next year. Why? Is it alive? Does it have life inside the tree? And more apples come out of it? Yeah, that's different than me giving you candy from a bag, right? So I thought of a term that's used in different ways, and I want you to think about it. It goes something like this. I gave it everything I had. You ever hear anyone say anything like that? Or someone might say to someone else, Ernie, you got a big hockey game coming up. We lost the last one to these guys. I need you to give it everything you have. Okay? You ever hear that term? Give it everything you have. Does anybody know a special holiday that's today? Mother's Day. Okay. I thought about mothers in this way. Do you think mothers are more like a bag of candy or like an apple tree and how they give? More like an apple tree. Because they're full of life. Okay? Okay, so raise your hand if you were ever born. Okay, so it looks like we're including everyone in the audience today. Raise your hand if you ever had a child. Well, you participated. Guys can raise. Okay. So, let's see. Betsy, how old are you?
Seven.
You're seven. About 8 years ago, your mom probably went and told your dad that she was pregnant and that they're going to have a baby. And from that moment on, everything in your mom's mind changed. She had had one before, so it was even more so the first time. But from that moment on, everything, I'm sure every time she woke up, especially for the first 3 months, she thought about you. And everything about the day and about the coming weeks and about the coming months was about you and getting ready for you. At the end of 9 months, there was a baby that was fully grown inside her. And before she woke up the next day and went to the hospital, she might have thought, and I think rightfully so, I've given this baby everything that I have. That's what a mother does when the baby's growing inside her. She gives the baby everything that she has. But was that the end of the story? No, that was just the beginning, right? So the next day, Anna went to the hospital, and every mother who's gone through childbirth share the same experience. Okay, so labor is a very intensive thing. So now, if you're a father, and you've ever held the hand of a mother who just gave birth to a child, raise your hand. Wes, what could you tell me about that? In a few words, what do you feel when you hold the hand of a mother who just gave birth to a child? Because, could you get a little sense that maybe she just gave everything that she had? Again, after 9 months of giving everything that she had, a mother gives over the course of hours, she gives everything that she had to deliver a baby. So what if the next day or 3 days later, the mom and dad, they get in the car and they drive home and they leave the baby at the hospital? Would that make sense? They get in the car. The mother already gave everything that she had. That doesn't make sense, right? Because even though she gave everything that she had, now when she saw Betsy's beautiful little face for the first time, she was even more in love than when she first found out she was going to have a baby. Because twice she had given everything that she had. And even though she gave everything that she had to have that baby, there was no way that she was leaving that hospital without her baby. She gave everything she had, but she had more to give. Okay, who's 3 years old? Anybody three? You're three. Okay. Well, I hate to pick on the same family again. Ben, you ever had a day where you got to the end and you felt that you gave everything that you had? Yes. I think I've seen part of it. It was that reading meeting. You, as your baby grows and becomes a toddler and a young child, there are days as a parent where you love that child so much, and you see something that needs to be corrected, or you see the baby in trouble, or you see that baby hungry, you see all these things, and so you get to the end of the day and you say, I gave that baby everything that I had. And it would make no sense if tomorrow when Ben and Anna are at home, Julia gets the car keys, packs up her things, and heads out of the house, because now both her mom and her dad have given everything that they had. Right? It would make no sense because there's more to give. And Ben would say, I have more and I have more and I have more. I want to give and I want to give. I love this child. Okay, when you get to be 13, you might feel pretty independent and you might feel like you have things pretty well figured out. And Levi's sitting next to his dad over there. He's not very far from 13. And if Levi he's a working man, I know, and so he saved up enough that he got his own four-wheeler, and he got his keys, and he packed things up, and when he turned 13, he left the house. Would that feel right? No, because I'm pretty sure that Joe and Joanna, your parents, even though they've given everything that they have more to give, right? Okay, even all up to the time when a child is fully grown, the parent is giving everything that they have. A father, at some point, he may walk his daughter down the aisle and he gives his daughter away in marriage. And you might say, at that moment, he's given everything that he had for for his daughter, and he would do it all again. But you'd accept a call from Christy, Dad, at any time, right? Because a father will always give everything that he has. We, in the verse and in the story in Matthew 27, there on the cross, the Lord Jesus, he cried out, "Why have you left me, Father?" We heard about how God gave everything that he had. So why does it say, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Now, I hope that you're saved. I hope that you know the Lord Jesus as your own Savior, and that you're washed in his blood, and that your sins are not seen by God. That is so important. But now I have another burden on my heart. And that might be that at 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years old, you accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior, and then somehow, somewhere along the way, you become convinced that that was it, and that's you've reached the peak of your Christian life, and you walk off saved, and you go enjoy the rest of your life on your own. But that's just the very, very, very beginning. And my fear is not just that someone might go into eternity unsaved, lost in their sins. My fear is that someone might miss out on understanding that when God the Father gave all that he had, that was just the beginning of what he wanted to give to you. Okay, what if you're just kind of stalled right now in your Christian path? You're saved and you know it, and there's no energy going back into the Christian life, and you're 9, 10, 11, 12, 16 years old, and you're just kind of treading water. And the Lord Jesus comes, and you find that you missed out on walking with him. What if you missed out on walking with the Lord Jesus? What if you missed out on, we've been reading from 1 John in the reading meetings, what if you missed out on understanding what the love of a father is? Not just the love of a Savior God, but the love of a father. Then you will have missed out on understanding that he wanted to freely give you all things. A mother, her work has just begun when she's given all things, given all of herself to her little baby. The baby comes home into the house, and she wants to show the mother and the father want to show this little baby what it means to be part of the family. And so they're just going to start to grow up into the family, and they're going to start to learn a little bit, little bit. You don't learn it all when you're 2 or 3. You learn a little bit more and a little bit more. And all through your growing up years, you learn what it means to be part of your family. You become a child of God at some early age in your life. And you just have to understand that that's just the beginning. Now you're part of the family. And now you're going to come in and you're going to grow up inside the family, and you are going to learn so much more than on the day you were saved. Okay, here's a question my kids ask me sometime. I finished reading this book of the Bible. What should I read next? What should I read next? And it's hard to understand as a younger child. What should I read next? Think about this when you go to your Bible. What are you going there for? I hope you opened up your Bible this morning and you read from it. I hope you will today. But when you go to your Bible, what are you going for? Are you going in faith that you're going to get something from a God who is gracious and is not just gracious in salvation, but is gracious in giving all the way through the Christian path? Are you going to your Bible that way so that you may be established in grace, that you may grow in grace, that you may be in grace? Is that what you're going to your Bibles for, so you can understand? Are you going to just read another random psalm in the morning? Are you just going through Proverbs over and over again? Or are you going to the Word of God, and are you going to the epistles? Are you going to the Gospels? Are you going throughout the whole Scripture looking to see what is it that God wants to establish me in today? What does He want me to grow in? What does He want me to understand in all things? What does He want to continue to show me as a father who's already given all that he had? I think we're out of time, so we're going to stop there, and we're just going to pray. Father, we are at such a loss of words when we think of what it must have meant for you to spare the Lord Jesus from your very side there in heaven and to send him down here. And we cannot imagine the agony that both you and he were in different ways during those hours of darkness on the cross. We thank you for not sparing the Lord Jesus, but for freely giving him up. And we just pray for each believer, young and old alike here, that we might come to you as our Heavenly Father who loves us with a deep understanding and a yearning in our hearts, that we might come to know you more and that we might be able to drink more deeply and deeply each time. Pray that you would encourage us along in our Christian path until the Lord Jesus comes to take us home. We give thanks for this time in his name. Amen. Amen.